Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. My name is David Frank Gomes. I'm a coactive coach and spiritual mentor. And this is Frank Talk, the radio show about the art and science of a happy, meaningful life. You can reach me at lifecompasscoaching.ca if you're interested in working with me. All right, let's get to it. Today we're going to have a feature chat with Lori Kakura. She's the co-founder and master spark creator at Spark Creations. Over the past 15 years, Lori has cultivated her coaching, leadership development, and cultural effectiveness as both a strategic and progressive senior human resources leader. She has also mentored and coached HR professionals across a variety of other sectors. But today, we're going to talk about something that is very close to her heart, and it's about falling in love with yourself. So, hello, Lori.
Hi, David.
How are you doing?
Good, good, good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So, a while back, you wrote a blog called Falling in Love with You. I just love the title. So tell me about this idea of falling in love with yourself and how that came about.
Well, it's funny that we're talking about it a year later, because I wrote that blog, I believe, in July of 2012. And when I wrote the blog, it was followed by a speaking event. And that time of my life, I was doing a lot of soul searching and figuring out, just going through the process of figuring out a little bit more about who I am. And going through the process, I started to feel the way that you would feel when you fall in love. And but I didn't realize, I was wondering what that feeling was and why it felt familiar. And, you know, when you think about your first crush, your relationship with someone else, you got that butterflies and the giddiness, and I was feeling that way because I was finally getting to know Lori and getting to know who I am. And, you know, you and I did our coaching training together, and, you know, we were learning about our values, we were learning about our purpose, and really spending time on self, and that's really the start of it. And so falling in love with me was about rediscovering my essence, learning a little bit more about what I stood for, and, you know, just kind of like when you're getting to know another person and you've got that honeymoon stage, you're kind of dating and getting to know each other. I was doing the same thing. I was going through that and getting to know someone in a different way that I had never done before. So that's really the idea behind it. And there's definitely a process in doing so that worked for me as I started to fall in love with myself.
It's a beautiful metaphor, actually, isn't it? Because everyone can kind of relate to that idea of having butterflies. And the only difference is, instead of sort of falling in love with something outside of yourself, you're falling in love with something inside of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so true. And I'm thinking back to where it all started, I have only been journaling maybe the last couple of years, and that's been a great way for me to just sit quietly and really listen to myself, and hopefully that's what my heart is saying, because I'm such a big thinker. I'm always analyzing things. But when I start to journal and just write my thoughts down, that's when I really start to listen to, my intuition, listen to myself. And I remember when I was journaling, I asked myself, you know, what is love? Because love is one of my strongest values. And, you know, love to me was different. I was always giving love to other people, but I never thought to give love to myself. Like, it was great at me just saying, oh, you know, whatever you need, I'll be there for you. You know, I was great at doing that. But I didn't realize that a lot of that love that I was sharing wasn't, you know, it wasn't coming from the place if you were filling your own cup, if you were, taking care of yourself, then it would be a different kind of love. It was almost kind of like Now, I don't want to say, you know, that it wasn't pure, but it wasn't as full, you know. And so when I started to ask myself, what is love? What do I want for love? What do you love about you? That was sort of questions I've never asked about myself, and that's when I started looking at love differently and looking at love for myself.
Wow. It's do you think we have some kind of a fairy tale conception of that word, and that it's why it's a beautiful word, and yet it almost becomes disempowering for a lot of people because they sort of see it, as you said, in a really kind of a small way. And what you're talking about is sort of something much bigger, or I like the word you used, fuller.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different kinds of love. There's the first kind of love that I really experienced was the love from my parents. You know, as far as I can remember, I know they were very nurturing and they loved me as a child, and you felt the mom and the dad love, right? Then my sisters came along and I started to realize there was the sister kind of love, or the love of cousins and other, other types of family love. And then you go into growing up and having relationships with, you know, your partner, and then there's that kind of love. And so we go through life, experience these sort of traditional love affairs, if we can put a name to it. But not, you know, in all those times when I look back, there wasn't really this time where I was, like, loving me. It was always love with someone else. You know, something that I create with someone else, which is still good. Like, we want to create that love and support. That's one of the steps that helped me fall in love with myself, was finally realizing that for me to love and to love from a place of abundance, to love fuller, I also need to open myself to receive love from others. It has to be this true reciprocal sort of connection. Recently, I referred it to a love circuit. You know, when you're connecting with another person, you know, when you think about a circuit of electricity or energy, you know, it has to be sort of this free flowing of love and energy. I might have even, heard that from someone with one of our programs. And I love that analogy because, you know, once you break that circuit, you lose the connection of that free flowing energy or free flowing love. So you need to remember that, you know, when you connect with someone or when you connect with yourself, it has to be sort of this full circle.
Yeah, it's and in a sense, when you do that, it's kind of like it's foundational work, isn't it? Because then you're more likely to, even if you're not in a relationship, just on a practical level, you're more likely to probably meet someone that would be a good connection, because you're coming from a place of trust and understanding and love.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that, when I think about friends or even myself, when I've gone through moments in my life where I felt alone, or I wasn't connecting with someone else the way I was expecting or thinking that's the connection I want to create, it was probably because I wasn't connecting with myself. I probably was projecting some type of energy, or, you know, I didn't feel that love for myself. And then you kind of feel that when someone's not happy with themselves, or, you know, they're not one, or they don't have love for themselves, you can see that, or you can feel that. There's some, maybe it might not be as obvious with certain people, because some people are really great at sort of pretending and putting a mask on, but then other people who are more vulnerable, you can see when something's not quite right. But when you do see somebody that's so confident, that's so full of love, not just love, that they, you know, give out externally, but you can see that they love themselves in a very pure and full way, then that attracts you. You almost want to know more about, what, you know, why is that person so content and joyful and passionate, you know, and that's, then you attract those people. So, you know, for people who are, you know, in a relationship, and they're wondering, you know, if there's love missing or there's some kind of disconnect, always look at yourself first and figure out, okay, well, where am I at right now with loving myself? Because you don't really need to look for that externally. Like what you said, David, like if you know yourself and you love yourself, it just sort of comes naturally.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that kind of basic coaching model, which is, you know, we don't coach problems, we coach people, and we coach the person, not the problem, and that always means we start with the person. But now, you've said in your blog that you embrace the following six steps, so I just thought maybe we could kind of go through them a little bit and you could explain them in a greater detail.
Mm-hmm.
You said first, and I like this one a lot, because this seems like a major stumbling block, accept and appreciate your uniqueness. Why is it so hard for us to appreciate ourselves?
Oh, I wish I could just give you the key to that, because I challenge myself every day to do that, to accept and appreciate my uniqueness. It's so easy, and I'll speak for myself, to look at my flaws, to look at what I'm not doing enough or what I could be doing better at. And I believe it's just, you know, I think our brain is somehow designed to sort of think that way. I don't know, somehow we focus on sort of the what's not working, and it doesn't come naturally to just, you know, practice gratitude. And that's why gratitude is such a big thing these days, you know, to actually focus and really practice your brain or your heart to really look at what you're grateful for. So for me, it's been part of the journey, and it's something that I constantly have to look consciously be aware of when I'm not appreciating my uniqueness. And for a long time, you know, to tell you the truth, I was actually very embarrassed about my past, that I never even shared it with a lot of people. I, for some reason, was thinking that people would judge me and would not accept me for who I am if I were, you know, to share everything that has happened in the past. But now I realize that it is you. And, you know, when I show up and actually share my most deepest, not just secrets, but really authentically who I am, that's when I build the best relationships and connections with people. So I embrace that now, that this is who I am, you know, here's like sort of, I don't want to say good and bad, but, you know, I don't know if there's any other way to say it, but it's just who I am. It's just part of me. I believe even the hardships that I've went through, it was all part of the journey. It was all part of the plan for me to experience it, and there were all lessons learned. And so you just have to continuously remember that. It is something that you have to consciously be aware when you are, like when the saboteur comes and you start to think, okay, I could have done that better. No, focus on what did you do well in that experience, because life is all about experiences. So focus on what you did well and accept everything, accept all your imperfections.
Yeah, it's a process, isn't it? I mean, it's every step is that process, but it pays real dividends, because it seems like beating ourselves up is a national epidemic, you know? It's all people do all day long, and the end result is that nothing good can ever come of it. I mean, we have to be disciplined and we have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at, but it doesn't require that we beat ourselves up, because we wouldn't do it to someone we loved, right? We would encourage them, so we have to see ourselves that way too. So I think that's great.
Actually, I'm glad you said that, David, because if we were to take what we're thinking of in our brain, so say for instance you made a comment and you said, you know, you tell yourself that, oh, you know, I should have done this better, da, 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 da. Would you say that to someone else? And so we need to think about the thoughts that we put in our mind as if we are, you know, this other person. And if we wouldn't say that to another person, then why would we say it to ourselves? You know, that's one of the things that I'm practicing as well, is if I have a thought in my mind, is this something that I would say to Eileen, for instance, who is my business partner for Spar? Would I say that to her, that you're not good enough, or you should have done it better, or, you know, this is what you would do differently? Or would I say to her, actually, this is what you did well. And I always do that. You want to focus on their strengths and recognize and appreciate what they're bringing. So that's just one thing that I think we should also be aware of.
Yeah, it's a great technique to just think, you know, to think like that. So your number two step was make your dreams come true. So how does this fit into the equation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been thinking about my dreams recently. I have written out life visions, you know, 3-year, 5-year plans before, as if it's already happened. You know, you can call that a definite major purpose or a life vision. And I've done it before in the past where I created a vision video. What I'm going through right now is actually creating my, rethinking about my vision plan again. Because it's something that's evolving and changing, and I feel it's important. It's important to be present in the moment and enjoy the process for sure, but you should also sort of have an idea of where your path might be going and then just leave yourself open to how you might get there. But it's nice to have a vision as well as, you know, being present in experiencing what might come on your way to your vision. So for me, it's about being clear as to what you want in your life or dream of, and be open as well that it might change and not be so stuck on how it should be or how you would get there. Other things that I do in terms of manifesting my dreams is reviewing affirmations. Actually, for one of my life visions, I read it and recorded my voice along with a kind of a classical song, because they say if you have classical music, it sort of vibrates in your brain a different way so you can actually retain information. So I had sort of this classical song, and then I read my vision, which is only about a few paragraphs, so it was like 6 minutes long. And then I actually play that just before I go to bed, because they say
fantastic.
That if you... Yeah, they say what you read or what you think about just before you go to bed is repeated, I don't know, like 40, 60 times in your brain as you're falling asleep, because, you know, there's different levels of your sleep. So that's what I've been doing. And so it's recognizing it's my voice with expression and emotion as I'm reading my vision as if it happened. And then I'm listening to it just before going to bed.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's better when it's your voice, too, because it's your dream and not somebody else's affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just having a dream, whatever it is, it automatically puts you into a more loving state, doesn't it? Because when we have purpose and we have something to look forward to and something that excites us, it generates that sort of loving feeling, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Do you remember when we had one of our icebreakers? It was such a simple question. It was one of our first classes, and they said, you know, what is one of your dreams, or share one of your dreams? And we had to repeat it over and over again, meeting with new people. And it automatically, when someone asks, what is your dream, it automatically puts a smile on your face.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really powerful exercise. And one of the reasons why working with a coach really does change things for people, because these conversations, they happen in a really non-judgmental way, but they happen, right? Often out in the real world, what is actually happening is, you know, 95% is complaints. And people don't realize it. They're in a continual state of complaining about things. And so I think when you start shifting your behavior and just asking yourself a simple question, you know, what's my dream? What do I love? And you have permission to do it with your coach, right? It's harder sometimes when you're out there in the real world. People are always saying silly things like, "Bill, come on, be realistic." You know, I had that a lot when I was pursuing my dream as a filmmaker. And it's like, you know, that can really rain on a person's parade, can't it?
Totally. And you know what's interesting, and I don't know if you're coming across this with your coaching clients, or workshops, but when we have our workshops, when we ask that question, there are a lot of people, more than 50%, that say they don't know. They haven't thought about it. And that's why we have our retreats, is because we want to put them into a space where they get to pause and reflect, whether it's a coaching, you know, conversation or a conversation with a group of women or men, because they never really find the time to even think about it. I have so many moms that come through our programs that have never they've never actually taken the time to invest in themselves, first of all. But even if money wasn't involved, they haven't had any time to even ask themselves what they want, because their dreams has been more for their kids or their husband or their family, which is still good, of course. But then also you as an individual, what is it that you want for yourself? And again, it goes back to, you know, accepting and taking the time to listen to your heart. You know, sometimes days just go by so fast, you get into this sort of, you know, program or mode or whatever, that you're just getting up every morning and you're just doing this sort of routine, and you don't think about yourself and what you want.
Yeah, it's true. You get onto automatic pilot. And, you know,
automatic,
you don't need money.
Yeah.
You don't need money to figure out what your dream is, to even know what it is. You know, like, I think people often use that as an excuse in a way. Because what's in your heart is, you know, it's like a song that's waiting to be sung. And I agree, people identify with their outer roles, you know. It's like, well, my dream is to be a good, you know, this or a good that, a mother, and that's wonderful. I mean, that's part of your value, your you know, the deepest values you have. But everybody's role changes, right? Your children grow up and they move out. So you can't identify just with your external role in life, because that changes. You know, I work with people who are CEOs and they retire, and it's like they go through a crisis because they're like, who am I? I'm not the boss anymore. I'm nobody. And I, you know, I'm unlovable now because I have no job. And so, I think what we're talking about here is sort of finding your own identity too, in addition to what you do outside in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where the values and the purpose comes from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is true. I noticed that too. A lot of people are just simply not very connected to their values. And that's okay. You know, that's one of the, I think that's one of the really exciting things about when you first start coaching with somebody new. It's like kind of being a kid in a candy store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to sort of figure out, not forever, just for this moment, what's making you come alive in this phase of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a good one. Number three is take care of yourself. And you said you started boot camp, you started eating better, and you were pampering yourself with monthly massages. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
What's important about that, do you think?
Well, it's your physical body, and this is similar to that talk that we had last week about feeding your soul. It's about your health. And, you know, our body is the body, mind, and heart, or body, mind, and soul. You know, there's three parts to it that connects with each other. So, you know, you could be focusing on your emotional and your mental, which is your heart and your mind, and then forget about your physical. And that's not good, because it's all one sort of system. And so taking care of yourself is about your health, your physical. It's about what you kind of take in and feed your body with. And then doing things that help you kind of relax or kind of pamper yourself. I say pamper a lot because of Spark Creations was when we were coming up with this concept of our retreats and how we wanted to differentiate ourselves. We really want every single person to walk in to feel special, to feel like this is a gift for you in your heart. You know, you get to get pampered. Like, we were even, when we were inviting the women to our first retreat, we were asking them, one of the questions were, you know, have you been to a spa before? And a lot of the women, actually, I was surprised. Most of the women said, no, they haven't been. And I was surprised, because I thought for sure people are at least getting, you know, manicures and pedicures and massages, you know, if they don't go for the full-on spa. But a lot of women or people in general either don't have the time or resources to do that. And you don't have to go to a spa, but it's about doing something that makes you feel good about yourself. You know, whether it's a good meal that you cook or you go out, or it doesn't have to be boot camp. I actually stopped doing boot camp because I injured my shoulder. So what has changed for me this year in March was doing yoga. That really was about taking care of me, and it has changed my life so much because of the breathing exercises and really connecting with me. I'm not, you know, an expert yoga or yogi, but the actual feeling I receive from going to those classes and the community that's there, it's really about taking care of myself. I feel that when I go, it's really for me. And then eating better, it's about drinking water, it's about just nourishing your body and then pampering yourself. So that's really what taking care of yourself is all about.
Yeah, I like that. It's strangely, we kind of live in a pleasure-denying culture in some respects. It's like people will spend their money on a lot of things, but they actually won't spend it on themselves. Somehow they think, oh, that's a waste of money. And I think that really should change. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons people wait so long to come to coaching. Because, in fact, most people can afford a few months of coaching. Or they could afford a massage if they, you know, you have to make choices. But if you don't see an investment in yourself and your body and your mind as important, then what is important?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because your body serves you from the moment you're born till the moment you leave this planet. So take care of it and treat it like a cherished friend. I think that's really good advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about, I think you and I had a conversation about Steve Jobs, right? This man had created so much, you know, with Apple and whatnot. And I don't know if it was that he couldn't take care of himself. I think, you know, I don't know how cancer sort of arrives. But that, without his health, he was not able to continue to live on and you know, continue to share the gifts that he brought or that he was able to share with us. So our body is our number one asset, and, you know, and also the mind and the heart is connected to that. So I really truly believe in, you know, Eastern medicine and the whole energy of our body. So if we continuously remember that it's all, you know, connected and it's all one, that's all important, then, you know, we should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's critical for health. You know, we're social beings, and even things like a massage, just having, you know, the healing touch of another person on your body, or taking an hour out of, you know, a month to sort of treat yourself and treat your body to something that really feels good. And it becomes a habit, you know, like feeling good becomes a habit. And you're right. I mean, you can do it with a bubble bath or go for a walk in a special place, or, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can treat yourself well. Now, the next one I like, because I think it's a really, really big one that's lacking, which is connect with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about that?
Well, it's definitely making time for, you know, creating the space for it. Daily intentions and gratitude. I struggle with that. There's been moments where I've been really committed to making it a practice, and then there's been moments where I've sort of lost the motivation for it because it became sort of this chore, and I don't really want it to be a chore, but I want it to be a way of living where it's just with me. You know, when I wake up, it's just something that I naturally do. I'm actually reading this book. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, The Magic.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's this wonderful book about gratitude, and I wish I had the book in front of me, but I don't want to leave the phone. But this book is about gratitude, and it goes, it gives you lessons or challenges to do every day for 28 days. So if you're able to do it for 28 days, you know, you're going to create magic basically through the process of gratitude. And I thought for sure you read it, David, because one of the practices that we have to do is to be thankful. You're supposed to thank for something, 10 things to be grateful for every day, but you're not just supposed to, you know, say I'm grateful for, for instance, I'm grateful for my family. You have to also say I'm grateful for my family because. So you want to talk about the impact that it's having on your life or what it's doing for you. So there's always what you're grateful for and then why you're grateful for it. So you do that 10 items or 10 things that you're grateful for every day for 28 days, and then there's things that they add. But one of the things that they say as well is what you shared with us at your last talk with Spark about just thinking everything constantly, everything that you pass by in your world. Like if you're in your car, if you're at home, you're thanking the table, you're thanking the computer, you're thanking for this phone that we're connected, you know, to have this wonderful talk and conversation. I'm thankful for my computer. You know, so it's all these different things. It's just if you're practicing gratitude and really thinking or feeling the gratitude, then that's where the magic happens. And this is what I've been, that's my intention. That's what I was doing last year is, you know, setting your intentions, your gratitudes. And then the dating myself, I have not committed myself recently, but once a month what I was doing and what I hope to do this month is just to have a day just for myself. As if you were going on a date with another person and you'd plan the date, you'd go and have a nice dinner, maybe a nice walk, and you're get ready and you have sort of this special day for yourself. That's basically one of the things that helped me connect with my heart, where I left my phone at home, I disconnected, and I just walked the streets. Sometimes I pretend that I'm in a different country and I'm traveling. And it's just an amazing feeling because you sort of are a little bit more aware and awake of your surroundings. And then you maybe do the practicing of the thank yous everywhere you walk around, like what you said, David. But that's basically what connecting with your heart means to me.
Wow, I like that idea of dating yourself. That's a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. I do gratitude practice another thing about gratitude practice is it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like I'm grateful for these things because they're good. It's like seeing if you can expand your gratefulness, even to things that you might be struggling with. You know, can you be grateful for something that you're actually struggling with? I think a really full, rich, and deep gratitude practice is seeing how far you can expand it, you know, what you can actually be grateful for. And so expanding it even to inanimate objects that serve you is kind of a really mind-blowing practice, actually. So when are you going on your next date with yourself?
Oh, that's a great question. I was thinking maybe this Sunday I should go on a date with myself.
You're just getting the courage up to ask yourself out.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get an outfit ready and figure out where we're going to go to eat. Actually, one of the things I should mention to you about dating yourself is that those days that I did date myself, I didn't plan anything. I left it a surprise. So I would disconnect my phone and, you know, grab my wallet, of course, and put my jacket on, and I would just walk out and just sort of let the day happen. And that was one of the great things about it, because I'm such a planner and wanting to, you know, have it something set up for the day, that having a day doing nothing where there was no plans was so refreshing, because you just never know what would come up. You know, maybe you take a walk, or maybe you go on a bus and you just kind of get off a stop that you feel like getting off at, and then who knows what's sort of where you land and where you what you end up going. If you sort of just follow the whispers, or you sort of feel your way through, maybe I'll take a left turn here, maybe I'll turn right here and then sit down on this bench. You might surprise yourself where it might take you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. That's amazing. Now, this one might fill people with a little bit of fear, but step into your fears. How does that connect to loving yourself more?
Well, I, you know, if I were to look at this again, I probably would change it. What I meant by fears at the time when I wrote this is that it was, again, part of accepting that we all have fears, right? There's either fear or love, and I didn't want to sort of ignore that I have those things that hold me back. Maybe if I were to rewrite this blog, I would say, you know, just sort of step forward, like into, you know, out of your comfort zone, or step forward into something new, because we're usually fearful of things that are new, that are uncertain, things that we don't know, and that's what makes it scary. But if you actually think about it and look at it from a different perspective, that maybe it's something adventurous, something exciting that you don't know anything about, that's, you know, element of surprise, then it's different. Because everything, you know, if we're always just sort of standing still and never taking a step forward, you know, it's great because you're kind of, you know, pausing and reflecting and appreciating what might be there at that moment. But at the same time, we're still living creatures and life is still moving at some pace. You know, it might be different for others. And so you want to be able to kind of move forward into it. The other thing about the fears is you know that it's part of you, and it's really just about you growing. It's not so much a fear. It's just something that is telling you. Like when I think about fear now, I know that it means that I'm growing and I'm learning something new. So I just look at it differently. But, you know, I still have my moments where I'm like, I kind of get nervous and, you know, unsure of certain situations. And then at the same time, when I think about it, it's exciting too, because at the end, when you go through it, the biggest fears, the biggest things that you are fearful of, when you walk through it, it's the most rewarding. It has been for me anyways, where I was so scared and then I pushed through it. I took every energy of my body to go through it. And then I was so grateful that I did do it. I was so proud of myself. So it's with the biggest fears that if you step through it is actually the biggest reward.
Yeah, I totally agree with you too. It's interesting because I was at a 4-day meditation retreat with some monastics, some monks of the order, and the senior monk was saying, he used this metaphor for fears. He said, you know, they have these new systems where instead of having to put a fence up for your dog, you just bury these little cables in the ground, and then there's a little collar on the dog. And if the dog gets too close to these cables, he gets a little tiny shock, and then he stops. And that stops him from walking too close to the cable. And he said, mm-hmm. We're a lot like that. We have a little fear, and we get a little shock, and it kind of stops us. And he's like, but if that dog just took one more little step and got another little shock and took another little step and another little step, and the next thing you know, they'd be across that fence. And it's kind of true, because our fears kind of shock us and stop us. But, you know, so we almost have to sort of stop and go, okay, I'll keep going. I'll take another little step and I'll work through that. And you're right. The results are you end up much stronger and more loving, because you realize that you're basically, you can conquer anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's those bigger the fear, the better reward, the better fulfilling experience that you'll have. And I mean, it's always been like that for me. Even though I know that in the end, I sometimes do get stuck. I know this is just me getting in my own way. If I just walked a little bit more, it's gonna be good on the other side. So. Again, it's just being self-aware, knowing your body, knowing that that's what it is. It's just that little shock, and push through it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another reason why coaching is helpful, because you're right. I mean, we all get stuck. Coaches get stuck, you know, everyone gets stuck. It's not a crime. The thing is, when you have someone in your life that can help you to get unstuck, it just makes it so much easier. Instead of trying to sometimes do it just all by yourself, you know, you have a partner that is there completely for you to help you get past that. And you can always ask yourself a question. Like I ask myself, you know, I think about, like you, some of the things I did in my life that really terrified me. And I think to myself now, what if I hadn't done that? Like, what would my life be like? And I think, God, I wouldn't have made a film. Thank God I did that. It's a great question to ask yourself. And number six is create love and support. What are some ways that people can do that for themselves?
Well, you know, there's different ways to look at this. What this meant for me, creating love and support, is what I mentioned earlier, where I was so much about giving, 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 and thought I was, you know, this giving person, you know, always willing to volunteer and help out a friend, was always there for my friends. But then when they tried to help me, you know, or they wanted to return the favor or whatever it might be, I always sort of, oh, no, it's okay, I'm good, you know, don't worry about it. And the moment you do that, when you don't allow someone to share their love and support, it's like them giving you a gift and you just throwing it right back at them, which we obviously, if we had a physical gift given to us, we wouldn't want to do that. That's obviously something that we would not want to do. It's disrespectful. So why would we do that when someone offers love and support, you know, intangible, doesn't have to be something specifically a gift. Those are gifts already in itself when someone says, hey, let me help you, let me support you, I'm here for you. And so it was this thing that came full circle for me. Like when one of my my purpose is to live well and love completely. And what I mean by love completely, and it's also the value of Spark Creations, is that in order for you to give love, you have to receive love completely. So again, allowing people to fill your cup where you fill your cup, and it's sort of this reciprocal thing. What I've done to create that love and support is I surround myself with my family and my friends, and you know, I've got several success circles, which are like mastermind groups of women for different, you know, men and women, but I have ones that are just all women as well. And whatever it might be, whatever the purpose of the circle is, it's there to provide support. It's to hold myself and them accountable. And this could be the same thing with a coaching relationship, David. So if you have a coach, that person is the love and support in your life. You know, that's that person that can hold up a mirror in front of you and say, hey, have you looked at it this way? What's another way to look at it? You know, what is fear? What, you know, what have you been fearful of about before? Where have you not, where have you pushed through that fear? So it's people that are like-minded, that, you know, similar interests or similar connection to your heart, and you're just surrounding yourself and equally sharing and receiving their love.
Wow. Yeah, that's critical, isn't it? Because you can't create anything by yourself. It's a myth that you do anything by yourself. I mean, you need a community to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to build that community, don't you, really?
Yeah, we were designed to connect. We were designed to socialize and love. And all of that, we were meant to do. That's why when we are with people, when we are helping others, you know, we feel good for a reason. It's not by accident that we chemically, even in a physical sense, feel good. It was all there done on purpose. So we need to openly embrace that and just really surround ourselves. I mean, I think about the hardest times I've ever experienced in my life, and what made me get through those moments, and it was because of the love and support. I never went through anything in my life alone. And then when you also want to celebrate, you want to be able to share that with someone and celebrate it. And you need to be able to do that with other people. You know, it's not you kind of, you know, having a glass of wine by yourself. That's good too, because you want to, you know, date yourself and celebrate and know what you've done as well. But also it's even better when you share it with others.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, it's that spiritual principle that you have to include the happiness of others in your own happiness. You know, there's no point in living on Paradise Island if you're surrounded by people who are suffering. And I think it's one of the great, you know, I don't know if you feel the same, but it's one of the reasons I love coaching and mentoring, because, you know, when you're able to be a part of somebody's story and see them create something that for themselves and become happier and have a more meaningful life. I mean, there really is there's nothing better than that. You know, 1,000 bottles of wine can't give you that feeling of somebody saying, you know, thank you for being a part of this story. You really, you know, you helped me shift out of this place.
Mm-hmm. And that's really why we both got into coaching. I mean, that's a big reason why people do what they do, whether it's coaching or mentoring or, you know, teachers, anyone that's sort of in a service role or just anyone in general. I think that we were born to support and love one another. That's really the gist of it. I truly believe that. And it always feels good when you see other people, you know, doing well and believing in themselves and knowing what their potential is and just going for it. I mean, we hear stories of people who push through their fears, you know, we hear or failed so many times, and then finally they did what they wanted to do and they never gave up. I mean, those stories mean something to us because deep down inside, that's what we want for ourselves. We want that hero's journey. We want to know that we all are the same. We all have our challenges, but at the same time, you know, we love it when we know someone who was strong enough and courageous enough to get through it and was able to, you know, find light on the other end.
Yeah, it's true. We forget that some of our heroes, the people we look at, you know, it's like Steve Jobs started out in a garage, you know, in California. So they all started somewhere when they weren't any of the things you know them to be now. And we have to remember that, you know, that everybody starts somewhere. But it seems to me, and I think you'd agree, without love in the process, without love being one of the steps, you know, every step, it's meaningless at the end, right? If there's no love in it, and if you can't love yourself while you're doing it, then in one sense, it's a completely meaningless exercise, no matter how successful you become.
Mhm. 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 Well, I truly believe that every person, you know, was born uniquely. You know, we are born in our, you know, with different gifts, but at the same time, we all have the same opportunity if we want it. You know, if we want to be the next Oprah, if that's what you're wanting to do, or if you want to be the next whatever it might be. It's really just ourselves that's getting in our way. If we really want it, all the possibilities is there, all the opportunities there. It's just really up to us making that decision, that choice, and just going for it and believing that nothing is going to stop us from it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, we don't, I mean, in this life we all have a part to play, right? I guess what I'd like people to know is that every part is important. We need every part. We, you know, we can't all be a celebrity, and we don't need that. The world needs you where you are doing what you want to do. So figure out what you want, what you, as you said, that question you said at the end of your piece, you know, what do you love about you? That's probably an indication. It's one of the clues as to maybe what you could be doing in your life or how you want to feel. So whether your part is a big part or your part is a small part, to me, it's really all the same. It's all important. And you can bring that, this love that you're talking about, into anything. So, if you had to sum all this up, what would you want to say to people?
Hmm. take care of you. It always starts with you. It always starts with you. So if you're wondering about what's happening in your life, if something doesn't feel is going the way you want it to be or to go, or the results are not there, start with yourself and start looking internally and go through these six steps and start to really discover who you are and fall in love with you, who you are. When you start to spend that time on yourself, you will surprise yourself. You will see things start to change. Just like if you were, you know, starting to practice more gratitude, magic happens. It's the same thing. When you start falling in love with yourself, magic will happen.
Yeah, no, that's very well put and wonderful advice. And if people are interested in Spark or they're interested in getting in touch with you and perhaps working with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to startyourspark.com, which is just startyourspark.com, or they can go to my website, which is just my name, which is lauriecorcuera.com. So that's lauriecorcuera.com.
Okay, and that's we have a link to that on the show page here, and maybe
perfect.
I'll even put a link to your blog post, because it's worth reading and thinking about, and there's a lot of wisdom in this post that you wrote. You know, whether you wrote it a year ago, it's still fresh, and the ideas are timeless.
Mm-hmm. Well, the great thing about these blogs is that you get to read it over and over again, and I will be reading it the same time that everyone else is reading it and going through the process again. It's something that is just ongoing, you know. I think we talked a little bit about this, David, where you need to check in often with yourself. Don't wait a year like you would in a, you know, performance review if you're working in a organization. We nurture those relationships by continuously giving ourselves feedback and checking and evaluating ourselves. Do the same with yourself. Evaluate how you're doing and what are you doing. Am I living my values? Am I taking the time to take care of myself? Am I connecting with my heart? Do a check-in and follow those steps.
Yeah, that's great advice. I know during this meditation weekend, the monks were saying exactly that. They were like, you know, you have to ask yourself some pretty simple questions, you know. And that's kind of that check-in is, you know, what they called introspection. It's like looking in your heart really deeply and asking yourself those kind of questions. So, and it works, you know, it works to create change. So we're going to wrap up here. It's been a great show. Thank you for coming and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you too, David.
Yeah, it's been great. And as I said, I will post that blog link, and you can reach Lori at the link on the show page. And we will see you in a couple of Mondays for another edition of Frank Talk, the radio show about the art and science of a happy, meaningful life. And there's lots of other interesting coaches on this Life Coach Radio. So if you are looking for inspiration, you've come to the right place. So we'll see you in a couple of Mondays, and thanks for joining us. Good night.